Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Morning everyone, it's Tad Goodness, it's Folk on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM, on the internet, sheffieldlive.org. The show will also be available later as a podcast, also available later on Mixcloud as well. And we've got a great 2 hours of music for you, including a very special guest, Matt Quinn, who will be talking about his podcast, In the Round. It's a podcast he's been doing for a little while now, and we're looking forward to hearing about it. You can contact us via our own Facebook pages. Also, in addition, the show also has its own Facebook page. We will leave everything open whilst the show is on air. As I said, over the next 2 hours, we've got a great show for you, so keep listening to Thank Goodness It's Folk. Bellowhead there, kicking off this week's edition of Thank Goodness It's Folk with the wonderful tune, The March Past. And I'm playing that because all of us sat around this table and many, many others had a wonderful night at the Sheffield City Hall on Saturday night. And with a very special version of that tune, where the band were joined on stage by Paul Sartin's son, Mr. Will Sartin, and it was just fabulous, wasn't it, James?
It was out of this world, that concert. I was so happy to be there, and our guest Matt Quinn was there, and our kids Hamish and Harry were there as well, and they had a brilliant time. Everyone in the room had a brilliant time. I think even the poor security guards who were given the job by their boss of clearing the aisles of dancers were secretly enjoying the music and hating what they had to do in that moment. But everybody was just on top form. I actually think, Sam, having seen the band quite a few times, that it was the best Bellowhead concert that I've ever seen. So yeah, there you go. I'm just going to put that on record.
Yeah, and like we say, what a moment to see Will up there. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, Will has moved to Sheffield and he's doing great things here in music and in the session thing. But I can tell you, he was very nervous about that. But anyone watching knew about halfway when he tributed his late father Paul Sartin's Medallion Man character so superbly on stage that the nerves had left him and he'd been taken over by the Bellowhead gods, leading him on to greater heights, both physically and metaphorically on stage. Well done, Will Sartin. And as we've all said in the Morris dance community here as well, it was nice to see Will celebrated online in the days that followed for something other than falling over on film in his in a previous Morris dance. So, Will, massive congratulations on a brilliant day. Sam, we've got a fantastic show, as you said. We've got Matt Quinn sitting right next to us, who is gagging to talk to us about In the Roud, his fantastic podcast, inspired by the work of Carl Sinfeld and Steve Roud. We have yet to talk to Steve or Carl about the Roud Index, but Matt is here to do it for them and to tell us about his wonderful podcast and how you can get behind it and how you can support it and what we've got to look forward to coming up. The other thing I want to talk to you about all today is that on the weekend, Sam and I are celebrating 10 years of presenting Thank Goodness It's Folk together, and we're doing that in combination with Pete Smith in a benefit concert remembering the lives of two great stalwarts of the Sheffield folk music and dance scene, Jerry Bates and Jude Wilford. And on Saturday, that is tomorrow, at Crooks Social Club, there are a limited number of tickets left to come and see a fantastic day, which will include sessions, Sheffield carols, including the organ, Sheffield dancing, including clogging and Sheffield City Morris. And you will also see a concert. The lineup is fantastic. I say that and now I realise I'm in it, so I'll rephrase that. Most of the lineup is fantastic. We've got Melrose Quartet, we've got Martin Simpson, we've got young band Underground Sun, and we've got Pete Smith and Alec Thompson. All that is happening tomorrow. And then the next day, Sam and I will be DJing and we'll be playing Jerry and Jude's very special record collection, which Jude asked me before she passed away. She asked Sam and I if we would take hold of the record collection that she and Jerry owned and auction it for the two charities we're raising money for. And I really just want to take this moment to tell you what they are. One of them is Alzheimer's Research UK and the other is Brain Tumour Research. A brain tumour is what took Jude Wilford from us, and she said that she wanted to raise money for it after her passing. So come along. Your money for the tickets will be going a small amount to the artists and most of it to the charities, and then all the funds from the records that we sell in the folk vinyl auction will go to the charity as well. The way it works is that the records will be out on display and there'll be a list given to you all, and you can put in any small bid. You could put in a pound on every album. The highest bid for each album, it's a silent auction, the highest bid on the sheet of paper at the end of the day will get the chance to buy that record for that amount. There are some spectacularly good records in there. One of them is Handful of Earth by Dick Gocken, and as we've had snow, heavy snow in Sheffield just yesterday or the night before, and it's still lying on the ground, but it is melting in the way that November snow melts. I don't think it takes any prizes to guess that I'm going to play The Snow They Melt the Soonest from Dick Gocken's Handful of Earth, available on vinyl at this weekend's folk auction at Crooks Social Club.
The snows, they melt the soonest.
when the wind begins to sing. The corn it ripens fastest when the frosts are settling in. When a woman tells me that my face she'll soon forget, before we part I'll wait to croon, she's fain to follow it yet. And the snows, they melt the soonest when winds begin to sing. The swallow flies without a thought as long as it is spring. When spring goes and winter blows, my love, then you'll be fain. For all your pride to follow me across the raging main. And the snows, they melt the soonest when the winds begin to sing. The bee that flew when summer shone in winter cannot sting. And I've seen a woman's anger melt between the night and the morn. So it's surely not a harder thing to melt a woman's scorn. So don't you bid me farewell here, no farewell I receive. For you will lie with me, my lass, then you'll kiss and take your leave. I'll wait here till the moorcock calls and the martin takes the wing. For the snows, they melt the soonest when the winds begin to sing.
Once led the way with trees lined down the tracks, now you find the motorways to ferry you to and back. Where stepping stones was laid between the bracken and the brown, fences built by human hand and roads for track and tire. Jeans roar where once badger, hare and deer made tracks. Settlements that were made should side it in their part in city walls far away from the fields and the wood. Now the wealth that we knew is not in money or in greed. It's in the land and it's in the oak and it's in the air we
Christina Alden and Alex Patterson with Land Corridors, and they will be on at Cafe Number 9 Sunday night, I believe, and that will be a great night. But what will equally be a great night is our concert at Crook Social Club to celebrate 10 years of Thank Goodness It's Folk. We will be joined by our guest Matt Quinn, who will be with Coverake. We will be joined by the Rosie Hood Band, and we will finish off the evening with Tim Van Eyckham, who will be doing a solo set. But you never know; he might have some guests too. You never know. But that will be a wonderful night. And now we're delighted to have Matt with us, who is going to tell us about his latest project, a podcast called In the Round. Morning, Matt. How are you?
Hello, Sam and James. I am doing mostly okay. No, I'm good. Me down on myself. I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you both?
Very well, thank you. Glad to be all sat round the table in the round.
In the round.
In the round.
Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Something we've been meaning to talk to both Carl, who came up with the idea of making books celebrating each of the songs numerically in the Roud Index. But for people who are listening to the program for the very first time, the Roud Index probably sounds completely unknown. We don't expect that everyone will know exactly what we're talking about. So before we go any further, could you briefly explain what is the Roud Index, the subject of your podcast? What is it?
So occasionally, if you buy albums of current folk artists, in the sleeve notes, it may say next to the track listing, brackets, Roud and a number. And you may be wondering what that is. The Roud Index is made by a guy called Steve Roud. And he, if you cast your minds back to 1970, just when the Beatles were releasing Let It Be, and other things were happening, Steve decided to index all the folk songs, or at least make a start on it. He is a librarian, or was, and so he is approaching the world of folk song from an indexing point of view, not a performance point of view. And he picked a song at random, which was the Raggle Taggle Gypsies and versions thereof. And he wrote on little index cards, and he found a version. And this, the point is to index as many versions of the song that we have evidence that was of being sung orally or printed on broadsides or in books of songs that were sung. And so on one index card, he wrote down the Raggle Taggle Gypsies sung by whoever, and you can find this on album whatever. another index card. He found another version, Blackjack Davy, let's say, one of the American ones, mainly Steel Ice Band did that one. And he said, sung by another traditional singer or found in a what so-and-so book. And he had to write C, Raggletown Gypsies, mentioning the first index card. And on the first index card, he had to write C, Blackjack Davy, the second card. And when he got to about six or seven or eight cards, all saying C, the other seven or eight cards, he realised that wasn't the way to do it. And he kind of came up with the numbering system. He said, right, this song is going to be number one. It wasn't round one then, it was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that every single version you can ever find of this song is now number one. And there we go. Much simpler way of doing it. And then he picked the next song that he's the one that he said caused him a problem in terms of finding versions, which was The Unfortunate Lass. And so every single version of that one is number two. And so on. And he kept picking songs in a relatively random order, although a lot of the first 100 numbers are in fact child ballads, which yes. is a whole different area.
Indeed. So are you saying that Steve's been doing this for 54 years?
And he's still going.
What number is he up to?
Well, I can't say exactly, but the number I've got on my spreadsheet from mid-August of this year, I asked him, was 46,432. But I spoke to him last week, because I recorded him for the podcast, and I said, it's obviously upped by then. Do you have a number? And he said, I don't have an exact number for you, but I've added at least a few hundred since then.
Goodness
so
me.
I reckon currently we're very close to 47,000.
It's really extraordinary work. Now, you said he was a librarian, and you said he's naturally an indexer, and obviously somebody who never grows tired of the process, although it must have been a lot of work for him. Apart from the obvious importance of it as a reference point for people now who are interested in looking at ballads, why do we have the Rowd Index? To you, having looked at it yourself now, and we'll talk about what you've been doing of it, why is it important to have such an index, as opposed to just having a bunch of songs, which the people continue to sing? Why an index?
Well, it's just, I think it's just a way of finding all the versions of the songs with ease, I think. Because otherwise, you're scrambling around, looking in books, trying to find, hoping that a version of the song you want is in a particular book, and it might not be. So you've gone through 10 books, and the song you want isn't there. But if the index exists, and you know you're looking for, let's say, for example, you're looking for versions of Hind Etin, which is Rowd 33, Child Ballad 41, you can just type it in on the Vaughan Williams Memorial Library website, and it brings up all of the versions that have been indexed so far. And it's not, this is what Steve Rowd always has to say, it's not a catalogue of songs, it's an index.
Right.
And so you type in the song title or subject matter or the Rowd number, and it'll tell you how many versions are in the index, but it'll tell you where to find them, and it's your job to go and find that book or recording. It's an index, not a catalogue.
This brings us to your involvement, and we can't mention it without Carl Sinfeld's involvement as well. Two of you doing parallel projects to, if you like, take this material out of an index form into a form which people can, in the case of the Rowd books that the lovely books that Carl's been producing, which are each one is a pamphlet in a way of 10 songs starting at number one in the Rowd Index and going through. And Carl's also been asking artists and friends to record them as well. Your project is very far reaching on the podcast. What is it that you have decided to do with your podcast and the Rowd Index?
I've known Carl for quite a while, since he started doing these books, the Sing Yonder books.
That's right.
And the original idea for this was for it to just be the Sing Yonder podcast, a sister companion to the books. So the books would be in audio form. And as I developed the idea more and more, it became clear that this needed to be its own thing, rather than, although with very strong links to the Sing Yonder project. And so the books are just Carl writing information about the history of the song and a version of the song. Was I wanted the history of these songs to be presented by people in the folk scene who have done the research, like very in-depth research. And so my original idea was to have Steve Rowd on every single episode because it's his podcast. And he said no straight away. But what he did say was, there are people, you know, rather than get, I mean, he theoretically could do every episode because it's his index, but there are people out there who have done research into particular songs, so get those people in, because otherwise Steve will be quoting them, so get them in.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I have two guests on every episode, someone who provides the history of the song from an academic point of view, and then a singer from the current folk scene, someone who has sung, either is singing that song currently, or someone who has sung that song on an album of theirs over their career, to talk about themselves and their history of folk music, but also mainly about that version of the song that they sing or have sung, from a singer's point of view and from a sort of modern perspective, to look at the subject matter of the song.
Matt, how do you look at an index with over 40,000 songs in it and then decide? Well, obviously you start with number one, but what was going through your mind when you looked deep into the future and realised that you could actually map out potentially the rest of your life and not even put a scratch on these? What does that feel like?
Well, it keeps me off the streets. I think it's a job for life. I mean, I've got, you know, as with any job of this sort of level and scale, you just got to accept that I will never complete it. It's like many things. It's about the journey, not about the destination. Yeah. And since Steve Rowd has added 300 or 400 more songs in the last 3 months, he's given me 40 years more work. So I'll never get there. I mean, I've run the numbers because I'm comfortably getting out 3 seasons of this podcast a year. So I'm doing 10 songs per season in the way that Carl with the Senior Underbooks is doing 10 songs per book.
Yeah.
Basically, if I did one song a week, I would get through the Rowd Index in about 900 years.
Gotcha. Okay, that puts it in some perspective.
But I'm doing three seasons a year. If I want to do that for 40 years, that gets me to Rowd 1,200 out of possibly 47,000.
But you've come up with a very good scheme of how you can skip ahead to songs that would otherwise not get featured, haven't you? Because let's face it, if you have to only do them in order, there are some very, very significant and brilliant folk songs which you wouldn't get up to because you're not going to be doing it in 900 years, unless someone has got some technology hidden away that we don't know about yet. But that's possibly another podcast for the future on how to preserve ourselves as folk song collectors for another millennium. Spare us, please. But you've got a scheme, haven't you? Linked in with your Patreon, and it's probably time to already mention that. How are you working around bringing in songs not in numerical order?
So, yeah, the podcast now is a Patreon, so you can support me in this mad endeavour financially. There's a £5 a month tier and a £10 a month tier. The £10 a month tier, you get everything that I upload. £5 a month, you get £5 or more, and £10 or more. But for the lower tier, you get some of the bonus content. The higher one, you get everything. When I started this, I looked up a couple of songs that I thought, oh, I can't wait to cover this song. Oh, it's Rowd 1400. Oh, it's Rowd 27,301. What can I do? And also, there are just... It's that problem is that there are some songs I'll never get to cover on the main podcast. And just I haven't booked in guests and I haven't really sort of looked at that far ahead, but I've got a spreadsheet where I've mapped out the first potential 14 seasons and written some names down as singers. I go, oh, I know that one, so-and-so sings that. I know so-and-so sings that. Gives me a not a blank slate when I come to that season. But there are some names that haven't turned up at all in my sort of vague look ahead. And so the Patreon is a way to include songs I'll never get to cover, but also a way to include singers that I at least can't get maybe in the first 100 songs.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing... The Patreon is basically more songs, but further on. So the main ongoing strand of the Patreon is a mini-season strand called Singer's Choice, where I get a singer guest to do 3 whole episodes. So they are the guest for 3 episodes. I get historical guests in to do this normal historical half. But crucially, as the name would suggest, Singer's Choice, the singer guest gets to pick the 3 songs from anywhere in their back catalogue and consequently anywhere in the Rowd Index.
Well, I think it's time we heard one of the singers you've chosen, and you can introduce both her and the song she's chosen for us now.
So what we're going to hear, what happens on the podcast is that, we get the historical half from, in the case of the episode I'm about to play a track from, Brian Peters came on and did the history of this song, The Demon Lover, and then Emily Portman was the singer guest. But what I always get the singer guest to do is to record a podcast exclusive unaccompanied performance of that song. And so this is Emily Portman recording specifically for the podcast, singing Round 14, Child 243, The Demon Lover.
Well met, my own true love. Long time have I been absent from thee. I've lately come from the salt sea, and it's all for the sake, my love, of thee. I have three ships that are out upon the sea, and one of them has brought me to land. I've 24 sailors on board, and you shall have music at your command. She says, well, I am now wed to a ship's carpenter, to a ship's carpenter I am bound. And I'll not leave my husband dear for twice the sum of 10,000 pounds. He says, well, I could have had a king's daughter, and fain she would have married me. But I forsook a crown of gold, and it's all for the sake, my love, of thee. So I pray you leave your husband dear and sail away with me. I'll take you where the white lilies grow, all on the banks of Italy, and the ship wherein my love shall sail. It is most glorious to behold. The sails shall be of shining silk, and the mast shall be of red beaten gold. So she dressed herself in her gay clothing. She was most glorious to behold. And as she trod the salt water side, she shone like glittering gold. They hadn't sailed a day and a day and a day, but barely three. She cast herself out on the deck and wept and wailed most bitterly. Oh, hold your tongue, my dearest dear. Let all your sorrows be. I'll take you where the white lilies grow, all on the bottom of the sea. And as she turned herself round about, so tall and tall he seemed to be, until the top of that gallant ship no taller was than he. And he struck the topmast with his hand, he broke the mainmast with his knee. He broke that shining ship in two, and he dashed it to the bottom of the sea.
Well, what a fantastic version of that song. Emily Portman with The Demon Lover, Roud, number 14, exclusively recorded for the podcast In the Roud, presented by Matt Quinn. Matt, we were just talking about some of the bonuses that listeners to the podcast and subscribers to the Patreon account can get. Tell us about some of those.
So, the main and most regular strand is the singer's choice strand, one singer guest for three episodes and songs of their choosing. Hence, we've just had three episodes with Nancy Kerr, covering Roud's 3,378, 3,065, and 165 as well. I allowed her a 165 as well, partly because it's called a Do Sweet Lovely Nancy. But then, so there are other things as well. I'm doing a semi-regular spotlight strand in which we look at other aspects of song collecting, so and folk songs, and not just the songs. So we've had one already. We've had a collector spotlight episode, and I got a guy called Martin Graeber to come in because his lifelong passion and work is on the life and song collecting work of the song collector Sabin Baring-Gould. And so I had 45 minutes from him doing a sort of a detailed introduction to the work of Sabin Baring-Gould. And like next year, I haven't planned them properly yet, but in January there will be a spotlight episode on a traditional singer. In February, I think there will be a spotlight episode on a particular region in terms of where songs were collected, and then it goes round in a cycle like that. But the next thing that's coming up on the Patreon is a season of local carols in general. Yesterday, the introduction to local carols episode went up. I managed to get Ian Russell, legendary Ian Russell, to come on the podcast, the Patreon rather, and do an introduction to local carols episode. And then next Thursday, for four Thursdays, I'm covering four local carols. Local doesn't just mean Sheffield, it means just in general, local to wherever you are, carols. And here's a sneak peek. We'll be doing While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, and Ian Russell's coming to talk about that. That's Roud 936. So I will get to that one bit in about 30 years.
That must be a big piece of cardboard, that one.
Yes. I don't know how long the episode's going to be, but we'll find out.
How many tunes would you estimate there'll be for that one?
Well, in the Sheffield tradition, there's at least sort of 14, and then you include the Derbyshire ones and the Sussex ones and the Cornish ones.
Brilliant.
It's a minefield.
A good point to mention that the launch this week of the new venue for the Dungworth Village Carols at what is now called the Old Band Room, which is the Dungworth Village Hall, was absolutely beautiful and brilliant, and it was great to see you there. And keep coming to carols on Sunday in Dungworth or any of the villages around Sheffield. It's a brilliant tradition. And Matt, that's an exciting addition to your podcast indeed.
Absolutely, yes. I can't wait. Basically, every mid-November to December, I'll cover four or five carols.
Great.
From Sheffield, fantastic. Derbyshire, Sussex, Cornwall, Somerset, Oxfordshire. Just keep them coming.
You know, actually, this is brilliant because you can also do other seasonal things too. I'm sure you've already thought about this. You can do wassail specials. You can do Easter and Pesach specials.
Oh, you're way ahead of me. Yes, I can tell you that in first week of January, there will be an episode on the song Here We Come A-Wassailing.
Wonderful.
Which actually is only around 209.
There you go.
But we'll cover it. And then there'll be a Singer's Choice mini-season in January with the singer Mossy Christian.
Yep.
In middle of next year, I've confirmed that my friend George Sansom's going to come and do a singer's choice. Lisa Knapp and I are discussing doing one with her at the moment. And then throughout April and May, I'm going to do some Easter, Passion Tide, Whitsuntide, May songs episodes on like things like Another Year Has Passed Away, Roud 17,708.
Matt, it's clear that you're passionate about this and that you don't seem to struggle with the concept of either the numbers nor the exhaustive spreadsheeting required. But I must ask you as a friend, are you okay with this? Because it's a lot, isn't it?
I'll be more okay if more people sign up to the Patreon and I earn a living from doing this.
You heard it here, people. This is very important work, and Matt is putting his heart and soul into it. So at least have a listen to the podcast and do consider signing up, because research like this demands passion, but it also requires that the person doing the research is well and can put a food on the table, frankly. So, yeah, I think that this is a very good time to say, people, if you're interested in all folk song, not just the index itself, but as Matt's alluded to, this goes way beyond a list of numbers. This is about folk song in general, isn't it, Matt? This is a broad thing, and it is your life's work.
Absolutely. I mean, the kind of historical side of these songs is there to be researched, but the people who have researched it have published articles and papers in the Folk Music Journal that is sort of published by the EFDSS. It's there, but it's quite relatively hard to seek out. And that's, in a way, it's a brilliant strides we've had with the release Topic Records, releasing the now 30 volumes of The Voice of the People, yeah. So many recordings around there. But I'm trying to, one of the things with the podcast is to make the history of these songs more widely known and widely accessible.
Matt, we've talked about the fact that in the podcast, you talk to somebody who tells you about the history of the song, and then you also talk about the song with a singer who's singing the song. So are there differences, and what's it been like to do that, and what have you learned from that?
Well, that's a big question. Certainly the differences I've found between the historical halves and the singer halves is that, for the most part, because of its very nature, the historical halves have been quite, I don't want to say cold in nature, but it's more of an information dump. We're giving you the history of the song, although the guests I have on are very personable people, and so it does become a more jovial conversation, but it is at the same time very much an info dump. And it's like, here's what the song is about, here's, you know, how far back we can trace it, what's the earliest date, and then how it's developed since. And we talk about the differences in versions, that if there's a chorus, how do the choruses differ? If you get someone like Brian Peters on, as I do quite a lot, he'll give you the history of each chorus variant and that sort of thing. He does very thorough work. And the singer side, it's much more informal. It's very much a conversation. We do a lot more about that particular singer's sort of historical background with their own folk music upbringing, or when they came to folk music. And we get to talk about the route of them finding that song to the version they performed, but also what tends to come up more in, because we're talking about it from a singer's point of view, is that we get more about the emotion of the song and about how the song affects you as a singer and how it might affect audiences. And so it's a much more personal angle on the singer side.
Yeah, and I think that's really important to mention, because with all respect to Steve Rowd and to anybody who spends their life doing this kind of in-depth and, you know, detailed work, there are songs at the heart of this, and there are human emotions at the heart of each song, and that's why they've survived, really, isn't it? And that's what you're getting at with the singer.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to come across some problematic moments, because on the historical side, it's going to be fine, but there are some songs that I'm searching for the route number, but I can't find it. The song Sir Hugh of Lincoln, also called The Jew's Garden, that's a very problematic song. But it's going to come to the podcast in the not-too-distant future, in about season 8 or 9 or something. And I'm not sure I know anyone who sings it, for very good reason. And so we'll have to come up with some quite sensitive subject matter.
Well, we have had to do a similar thing, trying to play a recorded version of every child ballad, because there are some that aren't sung. And Nancy, for example, rewrote Gil Brenton to not take out the horrible, toxic, violent, masculine aspect of the song, but to point it out and maybe to remind ourselves of the importance of these stories. So there's lots of work to be done, and I think that it's good that you are tackling those songs, but I think that we have to do that with singers who are prepared to find relevance and to make them, if not singable, then remember why they exist. And I think Martin Carthy's quite good on that subject, of, you know, talking about songs like Prince Heathen, why he keeps singing it despite the horrible nature of the character. Time moves on, and we do have to at some point take a break and come back with the second half of Thank Goodness It's Folk. But Matt, you have got a special preview of a song which won't have appeared yet, even for your patrons, and it's very nice of you to bring in a sneak preview of a track coming up. Tell us about this song.
Well, I mean, actually, you have segued a different sneak peek because, as a side note, Nancy singing Gil Brenton on Thank Goodness It's Folk means that she is the only person who has ever actually recorded a version of it, and so she will be the guest as a singer on episode 2 of season 3. So 12th of February next year will be Nancy singing that. But what I'll do now is give you a sneak peek of something. So currently, the current episode of In the Round, we're at round 16, The Frog and the Mouse is the song, and your Melrose Quartet cohort, Jess Arrowsmith, is the singing guest for it. And we've got 4 more episodes of season 2 coming up over the next 4 weeks. And in 2 weeks' time, we're going to hear the Round 18, which is the song Bruton Town. The historical guest will be Steve Gardam, and the singing guest will be the wonderful James Patterson. And what you're going to hear now is James singing exclusively for the podcast the version of Bruton Town that he sings called The Murdered Servant Man.
Brilliant, Matt. Thanks for bringing it in. And just tell people before we go and listen to James how they find the podcast and how they subscribe.
So the podcast, I mean, the usual byline is available from your podcast app of choice. This is primarily Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. It's even on Audible, where you get audiobooks from. It's on Spotify. There's a YouTube channel for it. And any of those little independent podcast apps, things like CastBox, Pocket Casts, and variations on a theme there. And so wherever you find them, there they are. They go out on Wednesdays for 10 weeks at a time, and then a month or so's break for you while I prep the next one. And the Patreon episodes go out on Thursdays, and they are available almost every Thursday for the rest of the future.
the rest of the future
until I stop doing them. And you can find that all at patreon.com/intheround.
Matt Quinn, it's been wonderful to talk to you about this. There's a lot to be said about it, and people should come and find out more. But in the meantime, let's hear an exclusive James Patterson singing The Murdered Servant Man.
A famous farmer, as you shall hear, he had 2 sons and 1 daughter dear. Her servant man she most admired, none in the world she loved so dear. Said one brother to the other, see how our sister means to wed. Let all such courtship now be ended, we'll hoist him to some silent grave. When they returned from the field of hunting, she began to inquire for her servant man. Come, brothers, tell me, because you whisper, come, brothers, tell me if you can. Sister, we are so much amazed to see you looking so much at we. We met him where we were hunting, no more of him than did we see. As she lay musing all on her pillow, she dreamt she saw her true love stand by her bedside. He stood lamenting, all covered with some bloody wound. Nancy dear, don't you weep for me, Nancy dear, don't weep nor pine. In that creek where there is no water, go there you will my body find. So she rose early the very next morning, with many a sigh and a bitter groan. In that creek where her true love told her, it's there she found his body thrown. The blood all on his lips was drying, his tears were salter than any brine. And then she's kissed him, loudly crying, here lies a bosom friend of mine. 3 days and nights she stayed lamenting till her poor heart was filled with woe, until sharp hunger came creeping on her and homeward she was forced to go. Sister, we are so much amazed to see you looking so pale and wan. Brothers, I know you know the reason, and for the same you shall be hung. These two brothers both were taken, bound all down in prison strong. They both were tried, found out as guilty, and for the same they both were hung.
That was our guest Matt Quinn talking about In the Round, his comprehensive podcast looking at the Round Index and the singers and historians who are interested in that music. You can find out more from all of the places that Matt told you. You can find out about it. And we'll also post a link on today's Thank Goodness It's Folk Facebook page so you can just instantly access In the Round. We've got time for a bit of music in the first half, and then we'll be back with a whole hour of music on here on Thank Goodness It's Folk. This is the great French guitarist Dan Abra with La Danse de Marou, the Dance of the Puffins. See you after the break. Thank you.
We'll be right back.